Well, good morning. Good morning. Merry Christmas. Got a few announcements, and then we'll get right into the Christmas program. Come on in, find a seat, lots of seats. Anyway, got a few announcements. Glad you guys are here this morning as we celebrate the birth of our Savior. A reminder, the After Christmas Party, that's going to be a week from Thursday. Okay, and we've got 62 signed up, so that's great. But make sure you get your $5 per person to Lynn as soon as possible. For those that support the Rose of Sharon, we have a year-end giving thing, and those are those envelopes that are sitting on the counter right there. They're just blank envelopes that has a little Rose of Sharon sticker on them. So if you're interested in giving a year-end gift to the Rose of Sharon, just grab one of those envelopes. Also, we will have a special business meeting next week, right after the service, for the purpose of you guys, membership, all of us, voting on the slate of workers and the church budget. There are copies of both right there. You feel free to pick one up and look it over during the week, and then if you have any questions next week during the meeting, we will answer your questions, and then we will vote on those two items only. That's the only thing the meeting is for, just for our slate of workers and our church budget for 2022. We are, at the end of the year, the fellowship meals, once a month at the first Sunday of the month. I've got a list hung up there and on the bulletin board, and somebody's already filled in for January, so whenever you feel like you would like to do that, come on in. When you feel like to do that, if you feel like you want to do that, just sign up right there. And then Friday, January 7th at 7 o'clock, we'll be showing a movie here called Christmas with the Chosen, and it's about 2 hours, and it will start promptly at 7, but it's free. Anybody who wants to come, and we'll be showing that at 7 o'clock, but, you know, obviously the doors will open 6:30, 6 o'clock, something like that. And then lastly, we will be having the Lord's Supper towards the end of the service. And anytime we do the Lord's Supper, we like to take an offering that goes to our Deacon's Benevolence Fund. So if you'd like to give to that, when the service is over, a couple of the deacons will be standing with just a plate. And if you feel like putting something in for that, go right ahead. If you don't, that's fine. It's just an opportunity for you to give to our benevolence fund, which we use to help people, you know, when they have a need. And have I forgotten anything? Okay. We're going to have some verses and prayer, and then we will start our Christmas musical. Today's verses is John chapter 1, verse 14, and verses 16 and 17. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, "This was He of whom I spoke. He that came after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You so grateful, Lord, for this time of year where we celebrate Your great plan of salvation coming into its own, the actual physical manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ coming as a baby, Lord, to live a perfect life and die in our place. Father God, thank You for that. And Father, now as we sing today, may the music bless You, Lord. May it bless those that hear. May it move us, Lord, as we consider what this time of year means. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome. Merry Christmas. As I usually do, I want to thank this group behind me for coming out and giving their talents so that we can sing praises to the Lord. And Mr. Dave in the sound room in there, I know he's looking around like he's not there, for with the sound and making us sound as good as we do. This time it's called Waiting on Christmas. Bless you all for coming today. I hope you're blessed today by this song, this music.
Days of the year, of all the seasons we celebrate, one seems to be longest in arriving. Christmas. Maybe it's because we anticipate the day so much that we waiting for it can be one of the most difficult things we do. And in the heart of a child, those last few years, or those last few hours, leading up to December 25th can seem, well, like forever. We know for certain that was the case for one 12-year-old Sarah Beth Reed. You see, in an old family Bible, we found a letter from Sarah, written many years ago, detailing her excitement as she planned her upcoming visit to see her grandmother, affectionately known as Nana.
Dear Nana, I can hardly believe it. Only 10 more days till I'll be coming to see you for Christmas. Everybody around here is really excited for our trip, and I, for one, could sure use a break from school. Mama says all our aunts and uncles are going to be there, even Uncle Charlie. His stories are always funny, but I do wish they weren't quite so long. Dad says once a year with Uncle Charlie is plenty, thank you very much. I guess you have to be a grown-up to know exactly what that means. All I know is I'm counting down the days. Why does Christmas have to take so long?
Waiting, waiting,
Notes you add. I even love it when we get all mixed up about which verse we're supposed to be singing. But that doesn't bother me, and I'm pretty sure God doesn't mind. You taught me that, Nana.
That's a great idea, Sarah. Why don't we all do that right now? Let's sing along, everybody. And if you get a little mixed up, God doesn't mind.
And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day in the morning. And all the bells on earth shall ring on Christmas Day.
Thank you.
Joseph standing watching while Mary gently held her baby. But it makes me sad to think there were no place to lay him except in a manger, and no one to greet him, maybe except for a few animals. But what an unusual way God chose when he gave us Jesus, the greatest gift ever.
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Bethlehem, a lion in a stable. A baby in Bethlehem, a lion in a stable. A baby in Bethlehem, a lion in a stable. On this joyful day,
there's a baby in Bethlehem, a lion.
Christmas Eve service at your church, Nana, after we had some of your homemade brownies. And yes, that's a hint. We can bundle up and go together, though we might fill more than just one pew if everybody shows up. Maybe it'll even snow. One of my most favorite things in the world is when the church grows dark and we all light our candles. It looks like a million stars in the sky, so quiet, calm, and peaceful. I wonder if it was that way when Jesus was born. Before the angels sang and the shepherds came running, I mean. I'd like to think that was a perfect night. Peaceful and still.
Thank you.
It was a perfect night, for you see, God's perfect plan was taking place. The words of John the Baptist, heralding the arrival of a Savior, the Messiah, were coming to pass. God's promises were being fulfilled. The hope of the ages was making His royal entrance. Yes, a baby in a manger, but oh, so much more. He was, is, and forever will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Hear the voice of your servant, a man sent of God, to bear witness of hope for the nations. There will be one come after whose message to us will bring life from the Father in heaven.
He is light that has come to
Christmas tree, just like the ones he used to cut down himself over on Fletcher's Mountain. But I've been thinking, as much as we love those memories, we have a lot to be thankful for this year, don't we? I'm sure we'll celebrate our family traditions, at least I hope we do. But something feels different to me. It's as if God is saying this year is a brand new Christmas.
The same old carols play while the angel takes its place once more on the top of the tree. Familiar treasures found when we pull the boxes out, the bells, the bows, the manger scene. We remember the Christmases gone by, and it causes us to make the most of this precious time.
It's a brand new Christmas, another year, another chance to make a memory, to cherish friends and family. There's no gift like a present, and this is a brand new Christmas. Traditions bring us home, and our hearts will always hold them close for the rest our day.
Next year at this time, I'm sure that we will find some things are just not quite the same.
Each season is different than before. May we never take for granted
coming from our kitchen. The waiting is almost over, and very soon you'll be getting the biggest hug you've ever gotten from me. And just think, in a few days we'll all be together singing the songs, reading the Christmas story, lighting the candles, and yes, even listening to Uncle Charlie. I don't know about you, Nana, but something tells me this is going to be the best Christmas ever.
The best Christmas ever. It can be, you know. Jesus, who came to live on this earth so many years ago, wants to live right here, right now, in your heart. Sarah Beth Reed made that decision, just like her Nana had before her. You don't have to wait for Christmas to happen in your heart. It can happen right here, right now. And that's our wish and prayer for you. that with the ringing of the bells and the ringing of the and the singing of the carols, you'll know the reason we celebrate. You don't have to wait any longer. This can be the best Christmas ever.
Everybody likes to take a holiday. Everybody likes to take a rest. Spending time together with your family. Sharing lots of love and happiness. Come on, ring the bells like the Christmas tree. Jesus is the King, born for you and me. Come on, ring the bells, everybody say. Jesus, we remember it's your birthday. Now, we just heard, it's called Waiting for Christmas. And the title caused me to think and ask, what were the Jews waiting for at the time of Christ? And they were. They knew that the Messiah was supposed to come at that time, somewhere in that time frame there, 2,000 years ago, they knew. And they were expecting something. They were expecting someone. They were expecting the Messiah, the promised one, the one who would overthrow Rome in their minds. He was going to overthrow Rome. He was going to install Jerusalem as the ruling city of the world. He was going to set himself up as king. But in John chapter 1, we see that the coming of Jesus was different than they were anticipating. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then in verse 14, it says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." And it says, "We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so we see that Jesus is God, and He was God from the beginning. He didn't start 2,000 years ago in a manger in Bethlehem. He was involved in creation. In fact, the book of Colossians tells us that there was nothing made that He didn't make. So He was involved. And that's our great God, the one that we really can't fathom, the three in one, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. One God, yet three entities, if you will, three persons. But that is our great God. And Jesus is God from the beginning. And in verse 14, the miracle of Christmas, the Word became flesh. The Word, which was Christ, was born as a person, like you and me. Just truly an amazing thought. And this Word became flesh, and it says He was full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. You know, we need both today. We need both. Jesus is fully grace and fully truth. He does not compromise what God has said, and yet He's full of grace. We reap benefits we don't deserve, which is really what grace means. It's about receiving something you don't deserve, as opposed to mercy. Mercy is not getting something you do deserve. But grace is getting something you don't deserve. And so we see the Word became flesh, full of glory, full of grace, full of truth. In verse 16, it says, "And of His fullness have all of we received." And it says, grace for grace. And to translate that, I mean, you know, grace for grace, what does that mean? Well, it's like grace upon grace upon grace. It's about grace after grace. His grace just keeps coming. And I just briefly have a few things to share about grace. And, you know, this grace is free. It's a gift. We receive grace, and you know what? We receive it not for our sake, for His sake. He died on the cross, paid the price for our sin. His sacrifice is not in vain. His sacrifice, for what He did, we receive grace. And what's that grace? The forgiveness of our sins, something we don't deserve. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't earn heaven. We can't buy it. We can't bargain for it. It is simply, we place our faith in what Jesus did. And in God's grace, He forgives us, adopts us, restores us, begins to work in us. All those things are because of His grace. And this grace is full. It says, the fullness we have received, grace upon grace upon grace. It's an abundance of grace. It's a pledge of more grace when you need it. You know, there's things that we go through. And you may look at someone else, what someone else is going through. And I bet you every one of us has done this at one time or another. We've looked at someone's going through a circumstance or some trial or some adversity, and if they're a Christian and if they're like still joyful and rejoicing, you know, those kind of things, and we go, "Wow, how do they do it? I could never do that." That's what we would say. "Man, I don't know how they do that. I could never do that." But you know what? God doesn't just give away His grace for no reason. He gives you grace as you need it. When that situation comes upon you, you receive the grace you need to glorify Him while you go through whatever it is you're going through. But you don't get grace that you don't need. God gives it as you need it, and it's full. You get it all. And the most glorious part about it is it applies to our sin. In Romans 5:20, it says, where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. And you know what? In every one of us, sin abounded. And you know what? After we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, and I hope you have, your sin still abounds, doesn't it? You still say things you shouldn't say. You do things you shouldn't do. You think things you shouldn't think. Sometimes we just react, you know, because of our humanness, the frailty of our flesh. But where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. What a wonderful promise. And Christ was the fullness of grace. And this grace is for service. By grace, we get to serve Him, whether it's preaching or singing or serving in some ministry, whatever it is you may do in the name of the Lord. By His grace, you have that ability, you have that talent, you have that energy, you have whatever it is that you have to perform what Christ would have you do. That grace is for service. It's for the promoting and advancing of more grace. And what does that mean? In others. When we share the gospel with someone, someone needs to hear the truth of Jesus Christ, and we share that, you know what? That grace can grow into that person. And that person can receive the grace of God, forgiveness of their sin, and become a child of God as well. This grace is a substitution. This is New Testament grace versus Old Testament grace. You know, Old Testament grace was just a type. It was pointing to what Christ would one day do. What was that? Well, for the Jews, it was all those sacrifices in the temple. You know, they had all these sacrifices all during the year, one of which was the shedding of the Day of Atonement, where they would shed the blood of an animal. And it was just pointing to the day that Jesus Christ would come and shed His blood for our sin. But what this did, it just kind of held off God's wrath, if you will. They had to make atonement with God all the time. But here's the beauty of it. Instead of a type of grace, we're blessed. We are in New Testament times. We have the reality of His grace. The truth of His grace is in us. When we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we asked God to forgive us on the basis of Jesus Christ's work on the cross, by His grace, He saved us. And that is the truth that we needed to hear. The truth of what Jesus Christ did, what He came to do and accomplished. And this grace grows. It can improve and confirm itself in us and perfect us and actually move us to other graces, you might say. You know, what do you mean by that? Well, hopefully you're not the same today as you were when you got saved. You know, when you got saved, you received saving grace. And then God, in His grace, begins to work in you. And then you know what happens? You begin to do some things that maybe you never thought you'd ever do. I tell you, 30-something years ago, when I accepted the Lord, I never thought I'd be standing here doing this. I had no clue. But God performed His grace in me to bring on more grace. And by grace, I do what I do here in this church. And I thank God for it. It's all Him. It's His power. It's His will. It's His plan. It's His purpose. I just try to be obedient. And you know, it's the same for all of us. He has a plan for you, a purpose, a will for you. He's going to give you grace that you can accomplish the things He has set before you to do. So the grace grows. And this grace changes us. Because as we live in His grace, and by His grace serve Him, God changes us into the image of His Son, slowly, piece by piece, bit by bit. We never get there in this life. But hopefully, you know, if you've been saved 10 years, hopefully 10 years ago you didn't look as much like Jesus as you do today. Hopefully there has been some change. And that's what it is. It's called sanctification. It's called a process of sanctification where God slowly but surely changes us into the image of His Son. Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth. The truth. What was the truth? We need a Savior. And if we're going to have fellowship with God, there's only one way to get that. The truth is, Jesus said it, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him, through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you get there. That's the truth. But you know what? The grace is, when you do accept Christ, your Lord and Savior, God forgives you. By truth and grace, Jesus works in your life. What the Jews got was not what they were expecting. That's why they went about to have him crucified. The Messiah was supposed to come and overthrow Rome and all these things, and it was not what they were expecting. They were expecting a Savior in the physical sense, in the political sense. You know, I wonder how many Christians today were all wishing for a Savior in the political sense. But that's up to God. We serve God. What they got was what they did not expect. They got a Savior in the spiritual sense. And that is the greatest need people have. We got to remember, throughout all this stuff that's going on, people still need Jesus. And that's why we're here. Regardless of the political climate, regardless of the economic climate, regardless of whatever other climate you want to look at, whatever's going on, people still need Jesus. And that is our task. You know, sometimes we don't get what we are waiting for. We don't get what we expect. You ever have that Christmas and you were sure you were going to get that, and then you open the package and it wasn't what you expected? You know, sometimes we don't get what we expect or even want. We get what we need. God always gives us what we need. Always. He's faithful to give us what we need. And by God's grace, mankind got Jesus, because that's what mankind's greatest need was, a Savior. It was the greatest gift of all. I can't even imagine having my son sacrificed for any reason, let alone for people that hate me. Think about that. To sacrifice your child so that people that hate you could have a way to heaven. I mean, it's just beyond. I can't imagine it. But God did it. Such is His love for you. Have you received this grace? That's the question. There may be someone here today. You may have never received the grace that is available through placing your faith in what Jesus Christ did on a cross. We're going to have an invitation here in a moment, and you'll have an opportunity. Maybe God touched your heart here this morning. I hope He did. And if you've come to that realization that you have never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you've never received the grace of God that He provides, you'll have that opportunity today. For the rest of us, those of us that we say we're born again, we say we've accepted Christ our Lord and Savior, let me ask you this question. Have you received His grace in vain? Have you received His grace in vain? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, we then, as workers together with Him, who's that? That's the church, right? It's us. We're workers together with Him, Jesus. That's what Paul's talking about here. We then, as workers together with Him, we beseech you, or we ask you, we beg you, that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Now, Paul wrote this. And in another place, Paul wrote, it is my prayer that I not be set on a shelf. And that's indicative of, you ever got that thing in your house and you don't know what to do with it? And it, you know, you don't want to throw it away, but, you know, you never use it, right? So what do? You find, you know, that little cupboard above your refrigerator that you can't reach? You know that one? That's the where you stick it, right? You stick it in there. Why? Because you're never going to use it, right? We all got that place or that drawer, you know, the black hole, you know, that you put the stuff you never use. And Paul, you know, he was, I mean, this is Paul. I mean, who did God use more than Paul? And yet Paul had this fear that he'd be put on a shelf. And so he was always about serving, and he was always guarding himself. And you know what? It's good for all of us because we can be complacent. We can get comfortable. But there's still work to do. And so maybe Christmas is a good time to just think about where you're at with God, and are you really serving Him the way He's wanting you to serve Him? You know, we like to serve Him the way we want to serve Him, but sometimes He calls us to things we're not comfortable with. Are we willing to do that? And you know what? If you step out in that, God will give you the grace to do it. I know I've experienced it many times, His grace. And the only way you get to do it, the only way you experience that grace is step out there and trust in Him. If we can have every head bowed, every eye closed. I just want to give you a chance to kind of reflect on maybe the message of the songs we sang today, maybe the message I just gave you about grace. I just want to give you an opportunity to do a little business with the great God of the universe. How many would say, Brother Mike, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've never received the grace you just talked about. And I realize that right now. And I'd like prayer about that. I need to make a decision. I realize it. And I need to make a decision. Is there anybody like that? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I just want you to just make it known to me so I can pray for you. Anybody like that? Okay. As far as I know, everyone here has received that saving grace. For the rest of us, how many would say, there's some things I haven't stepped out and done, and I know I've kind of been getting that inkling from the Holy Spirit, and I've been a little fearful, or I've just been a little hesitant, and I need to step out. I need that grace. Anybody, and I need prayer for that. Anybody like that, slip your hand up. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you thankful for the grace that is Jesus Christ. Father, help us to humble ourselves. Help us, Lord, to focus on you and allow you to work in our lives. I pray, Lord, these ones that raise their hand, Lord, I pray you would move on them in a very special way. I pray you'd manifest yourself in them, Lord, in a very special way. Give them courage in place of fear, Lord. Help them to make a decision that they know they need to make. Help them make it. And Father, help them to trust you. Give them faith. And we know you'll give them grace as they step out. Father, help us this day as we ponder these things. In Jesus' name, amen. This is your time. While the music plays, you got to do business with God. This is your time. If you need prayer, you can come up. I'll pray with you. But you need, if God has moved something in your mind, you need to deal with it. Don't let this time be in vain. Lord's Supper here in a few minutes. The Bible talks about making things right with God before you participate in that. So this is also an opportunity for that as well. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ, Lord. Father, we thank you for the work you have done in us. We thank you, Lord, for your marvelous grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to close the service. We're going to sing Silent Night. But before that, I just have a little something more to say. In Luke chapter 2, and in verse 10, we have the shepherds out on the fields watching the sheep. And it says, "And an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people.'" That was one of the quotes in the narration. And it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And verse 12 is interesting. It says, "And this shall be a sign to you." Now, this angel is talking to these shepherds, and it's a sign to them. You need to understand that. He says, "This shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe." That's why we know it's talking to the shepherds. It's for us to learn something, but for them, it had tremendous meaning, which I'll get to here in a second. Said, "This shall be a sign to you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And so I have a little account here. I'll just kind of read it. But it's talking about the manger lamb. Mangers are feed troughs. In ancient Israel, and still in the Middle East in some places, they're made of stone. And in a pinch, they can be a protective bassinet. That's why the priests of Bethlehem would place lambs in them. But not all lambs, just those that were without blemish and suitable for the blood sacrifice, the sacrifice that was used to cover the sin in the temple. And these lambs, these were the lambs Bethlehem was known for. In the hills, there was a tower named Migdal Eder, and the flocks nearby produced the lambs for sacrifice. As the time neared, the priests would choose the lambs for sacrifice, those without blemishes. To protect them, they'd wrap them snugly in cloth and swaddle them, and they'd lay them in the stone mangers until their time came. Manger is only mentioned in one account of Jesus' birth, Luke, what I just read to you. And now all this makes greater sense, doesn't it? On that holy night, there was only a small group of people who would understand the significance of what those angels said. The ones that heard the words, "You will find a baby wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." The shepherds understood exactly what that was because they cared for those lambs, that the ones without blemish would be wrapped and placed in a manger until the time of the sacrifice. The shepherds knew what they meant, and that's why the angel said, "This will be a sign to you." The long-awaited Messiah was coming, and he wasn't coming to a palace. He was coming in most humble of circumstances as the Lamb of God that was going to be sacrificed. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." That sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ was God's goodwill towards us. Now we're going to sing Silent Night. Praise team, come on up. All of you that were in the, please come up. And we're going to sing Silent Night. John is rustling up here. The words will be for you on the screen. We're going to have five verses, two in English. There'll be one in Spanish, then two more in English. And then we'll pray and close. want to thank you all for coming today. I pray that you were encouraged, and as we rejoice in the birth of our Savior, and I pray that you do have a safe and merry Christmas this week. Hopefully we'll see you next Sunday. John, close us out in prayer.
Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to be here today to accept your love, your grace. And Lord, just guide us and be with us this Christmas. May it be a happy and effortless Christmas. In your name, amen.
Amen.
And happy birthday, Jesus.
Amen.